how you feeling? You ready?
I'm ready.
Perfect. Hello.
Hello.
What have you been watching this week, Annabelle?
I have been watching a program called, a Norwegian program. I've really been branching out this week. It's called State of Happiness in English. And it's called, I might butcher this, Lykkeland in Norwegian. So it's basically been talked about as the kind of like Norwegian Mad Men, which I do kind of get, but it also stands alone in its own right. It's about the, set in the 60s, late 60s, in a town called Stavanger. Pretty awful, awful Norwegian. And it's about the oil boom that happened in Norway in 1969, and basically how this oil boom affects the town, particularly the kind of young people growing up there who were going into work, because it's quite a small coastal town, and before that, that area was not prospering at all. So it's basically about all the changes that come in as a result of them finding this huge oil basin, and how that affects people's livelihoods, but also their relationships with each other and like their families. It's really good. I really enjoyed it. The set and the like, the style of it, the whole 60s style. I'm an absolute whore for 60s style, so I'm really enjoying it. What about you? What have you been watching?
I've been watching a show called Wanderlust, and I've already watched this show, but I found it on Netflix. When I first watched it, it was on BBC iPlayer.
Yeah, I think you've mentioned you've watched this before.
Yeah, no, I have. But the reason for me delving back into it was that Toni Collette, who I absolutely love as an actress, was in the film for this week, or one of the films for this week. And she is the protagonist of Wanderlust. And
yeah, I've seen it. I'm a big fan of Wanderlust.
Oh, I just love it. So it's written by Nick Payne, who is actually a playwright. And this was his first screenplay for television. And it stars Stephen McIntosh and Toni Collette in a 6-part BBC series. And it follows them, a married couple who have kind of lost their way to each other, and to try and reignite their relationship, they decide to start seeing other people, and it follows their relationship, their children's relationships, and it's a fantastic show. It shows the different kind of relationships that you have in a whole family, like the relationships of parents, the relationships of a daughter who's in their mid-20s, a daughter in the early 20s, and a son who's still at school. And I think it's a nice mix of a lot of different generations and how differently they love.
Yeah, definitely. You definitely get that range. It doesn't just focus in on this one relationship. I think otherwise it would be a bit claustrophobic almost. But in terms of TV drama, it's a little bit more realistic in terms of how dysfunctional all relationships can be. Definitely shows that in all of its glory.
definitely. And so I discovered this week that it's now moved on to Netflix. So if anybody's looking for a series to really get your teeth into, there are 6 1-hour episodes. So I would definitely recommend it.
Yep, for me too as well. Tried and tested. So to give a rundown of what we're going to be doing this week, we are going to be talking about Annihilation, which is directed by Alex Garland. Then we'll have a bit of film news, and then we'll move on to Knives Out, which is directed by Rian Johnson. And then we'll have our recommendations for you based off the back of those films. And this week we've decided to end on a little quote, just to jazz it up. Why not?
Jazz it up.
Oh dear, it's only Monday and we've lost the plot already. Right, I'm going to kick off with Annihilation. This film was released in 2018 and it is based on the 2014 book of the same name by an author called Jeff Vandermeer. It is directed by Alex Garland, as I previously said, and he also adapted the screenplay. So he directed Ex Machina back in 2015, which was his directorial debut. And he also has written screenplays such as 28 Days Later, Danny Boyle's Sunshine, and has written the film adaptation of Kazuo Ishiguro's Never Let Me Go. So he's quite prolific in the screenwriting department. So the film begins with Lena, who is played by Natalie Portman, who is a former soldier and a biologist specializing in cell research. And she's being questioned about a sort of mysterious mission. The film then rewinds to before this mission took place. Lena's husband, who is in the military, went away on a classified mission, only to return a year later, dazed and confused, and with no idea where he has been or how he got back, having been presumed dead. So he then falls critically ill, and Lena is taken to a military base on the outskirts of a place called Area X, which is an area teeming with paranormal activity and has been for the last 3 years. So the border of this area is marked with what scientists call the shimmer, which is a petrol-like film between the normal swampland of Florida, where all of this sort of bizarre stuff has kicked off. And it's an area from which no one seems to return apart from Lena's husband, Kane. So Lena is then teamed up by an expedition leader called Dr. Ventress, who is played by Jennifer Jason Leigh, along with a physicist, Josie, played by Tessa Thompson, a geomorphologist, Cass, played by Tuva Novotny, and paramedic Anya, played by Gina Rodriguez. So these women venture into the shimmer to trace what happened to the 12 failed expeditions before them, to try and understand what's happening in the area. And what they discover is a sort of phenomenon like nature on acid. Basically, the entire area has become mind-bendingly genetically modified, and that in turn starts to affect all the women, both in their minds and bodies. And then it all unfolds from there. I'm going to leave that bit to mystery because there's a lot of things to discover, I think, and I don't want to spoil too much. What were your thoughts, Morgan?
I think your explanation of nature on acid is the perfect way of explaining what this is like. You're thrown into a world where there are bears with cow skulls.
They look half dead, don't they? The weirdest thing that you can imagine happening in nature seems to happen in this film, doesn't it?
Definitely. I also thought that it was really interesting to see an action film where there were four women going into the shimmer, four women leading an expedition in an action film, which I don't think I've ever seen before in that way.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think it's five women, including Jennifer Jason Leigh's character.
Oh, yeah, of course.
I've been wanting to watch this film for a while, so thank you, Netflix, for it arriving on there. Having done a bit of research on it before, that was something that I was really looking forward to see how Alex Garland sort of treats that, but it's almost not really given a lot of time to the fact that they are, I mean, this is, it's quite rare, especially in the sci-fi genre, the horror genre. I mean, this kind of like crosses over in so many ways. But yeah, I mean, in these kinds of films, it's usually, you know, groups of men going off into mysterious places, whereas with this, it was a different story. And I think they're also portrayed in a different light, like, they all have their backstories, but ultimately it's where they are in the present and the weird things that are unfolding that is the most important, and it's how they all react to that. They all react extremely rationally as they are trained to do. Like, they're sort of defined by their professions rather than by anything else. I think you get like a brief, very, very brief backstory to why they're all there, and you kind of discover that quite a lot of the majority of their motivations are their careers, and also the fact that they don't really, they're all quite flawed characters, I think. Like, stuff has happened to them or they've done things to themselves, and so they're not necessarily these sort of like clean slate people. they've all had their issues, which you only, you get it sort of hinted at. And I think that was something that was interesting on Garland's part, in that he just kind of touched the surface on those things and then let them be, because it's not the most important part of the film, and there's far too much other stuff going on, to be honest. So I thought that was like quite a light touch, but yeah, I mean, it was great to see women in these kind of roles. I thought Natalie Portman especially was amazing in this role, like really, really good.
I also really enjoyed watching her in this kind of thriller horror. I think she plays it really well. The only other film that I've watched with her in this kind of role was Black Swan.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a very different role, very different genre, but it was nice to see her in this role. I have to say that I watched it late at night on my own, sitting in this little shed.
And oh no!
Was really scared. I was really scared. I was texting you like, why did I not watch this during the day?
Sorry, I should have warned you. I watched it when it was light, and like as I said last week, I'm really not a big horror person, but for some reason I was okay with this film. Like I wasn't super freaked out by it. Which parts did you find sort of the most unnerving? Because there are some moments, I think the majority of it is quite like, it's quite action based, but then there are some moments which are almost like spine chillingly creepy.
I think a lot of the things that I found were creepy were more like the scary animals, or when they were saying that their skin was crawling, because I start looking at my own fingerprints and think, oh God, are my fingerprints starting to move and merge, and do I have creepy crawlies crawling under my skin? And
yeah, there's so many sort of uncanny elements to it, in that the shimmer in which they go into, you know, it looks like this sort of, as I said, like nature on acid. There are things, there are recognizable things, like they get attacked by this huge alligator, which is an alligator but it's enormous and it has like shark's teeth, and it's so many things that are recognizable that have been twisted. And I think that's what makes it even more unnerving. Everything in this area just kind of absorbs everything's matter. So everything is like kind of connected, but at the same time, it's like, is that a good thing? Because all of these women start becoming so affected, and psychologically as well, like seeing their skin crawl and they just don't know what is real anymore. I think I maybe watched it at the right time of day, because if I'd watched it at night, it might have made me think about things a bit too much. But I enjoyed that there was that quite a deep psychological level to the film. I think that really adds the suspense, and it kept the film like a very tight structure, which really worked. And it kind of felt like, I don't know, did you draw some lines to Ex Machina, Garland's previous film? Because I mean, didn't think about it too much, but then I kind of reflected on it a little bit afterwards.
I have to be honest that I haven't watched Ex Machina, which I have to watch. But I have actually, researching this film, I did a lot of research on Ex Machina, and it's on the top of my list of something to watch. It looks absolutely amazing.
It is really good.
I'm a huge fan of Oscar Isaac, and he's in both films, so I would definitely like to watch it. But having watched the trailer and done a bit of research on that film, you can definitely sense, you know, the idea of quite a dystopian future. So I think that definitely came across.
Yeah, I think Garland, as a filmmaker, he's very much attracted to that sci-fi element, how the human race will pan out, and how in the near and far future, and what it'll do. But I think also in terms of the suspense of the film, I felt it was something else. It's really impressive. Yeah, it's just like you're hooked. Like I was like on the edge of my chair.
What would you give it out of 10? Sorry, out of 5. What would you give it out of 5? Sorry.
I might actually be really harsh and give it a 3 out of 5. That's harsh for me. I know I've been singing its praises, but the ending, which I don't want to ruin, did kind of unraveled everything for me.
Annabelle, I completely agree. I felt also quite harsh saying 3 out of 5, but I really didn't like the ending, but I felt I didn't really want to say that because I said that last week about the other film. I wasn't so sure about the
ending.
You're
allowed to not like the ending, though. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, I don't know how quickly I would rush back to watching this film.
Yeah, I think I would rush back, but just the ending... From looking online, a lot of people didn't really get it. So I sort of kind of understood it, but having been such a tight sort of like structure of everything, I felt like it almost took an easy way out with the conclusion that it came to. I wasn't quite satisfied with that.
I also felt exactly that. You were building up so much suspense the whole time, and then I felt it just fell a bit short at the end.
Yeah, like a little bit like a cliffhanger. I was just like, oh. But the rest of the film, I really enjoyed it. It was just the ending that I was quite disappointed by. But, I mean, such is life. The ending's a little disappointing.
Such is life. 3 out of 5.
Moving on.
Should we move on to some film news?
Yes. Do you want to go first?
Yes. So, on the 15th of May... The actor Fred Willard sadly died. He died of natural causes and he was 86 years old. He was best known for starring in lots of different mockumentaries, one of them being This Is Spinal Tap. And this is a film I've never seen before, but I've heard people reference so often, and a film that I would really like to watch. And he's also starred in quite a few other mockumentaries, supposedly, one of them also being A Mighty Wind. He was also in all of the Anchorman films, and he played Frank Dunphy in Modern Families, so Phil Dunphy's father. And I think that was probably his most recognizable role in the last few years.
Yeah.
And he was hilarious, a very funny actor who brought a lot of joy to cinema, I think. What about you?
I have to come in with another death, unfortunately. It's quite a sad week for film. So this week, the director, producer and writer, Lynn Shelton, who was only 54, died from a unidentified blood disorder. She directed the recent miniseries Little Fires Everywhere, which is sort of just coming out on Hulu. So it was a very, very sudden, tragic death, really. She also directed episodes of Mad Men and Glow. One of my personal favourites of hers was a film called Laggies, which stars Keira Knightley, Sam Rockwell and Chloe Moritz as a sort of unlikely trio. Keira Knightley is this late 20s, early 30s woman who can't really seem to get her life together, and she ends up meeting... Chloe Moritz, and they form a sort of unlikely friendship, and it's about her trying to get her life back on track. It's sort of like a rom-com kind of film, but I really enjoyed it. It definitely lifts the spirits. So if you've got any spare time this week, then definitely give that a watch. It's a fantastic film.
I actually watched the trailer after you mentioned to me earlier, and I really liked it.
Yeah, it's quite odd in its tone. It's like, I don't know, I feel like those, I mean, coming back to gender again, but I feel like those kind of roles are mostly focused on men who sort of are at that age and haven't really got it together, whereas Keira Knightley is a very unlikely, wouldn't have put her in that role, but she does it really well and is very, very funny. Quite very far away from Pirates of the Caribbean and Atonement and anything like that. Yeah, really good film and very, very sad loss. Moving away from death, or actually, sort of.
Keeping with death, we're going to move on to our next film, Knives Out, which came out in 2019. And it was written and directed by Rian Johnson, who also directed the Star Wars The Last Jedi in 2017. And who also wrote and directed the 2012 film Looper. So the film starts at the Thromby estate when the housekeeper Fran finds Harlan Thromby with his throat slit. And at first it looks like suicide. However, the police start interviewing the family members again, and the family's quite unsure why they're being questioned again. The family consists of a star-studded cast. Harland Thrombey himself, the man who was killed, or died, or whatever. Whoa. You're unsure. he is played by Christopher Plummer, and he has two children, a son called Walt, who's played by Michael Shannon, a daughter called Linda, who's played by Jamie Lee Curtis. And they are in this mansion with their families as well. At first, like I said, it seems very straightforward, like a textbook case. However, the police officers, one of them played by Lakeith Stanfield, and this detective called Benoit Blanc, played by Daniel Craig, ask them more and more questions and really press them. And after a while, the very complicated, complex, tangled web reveals itself. You find out very quickly that the family members are grotesque characters. They're stuck up, selfish, and all they care about is how much money they have and who is going to inherit what. The only person that you really have any empathy for and connection to is Harlan's nurse, Marta Cabrera, who's played by Ana de Armas, who Detective Blanc enlists as the Watson to his Sherlock eventually. And she is quite unsure about becoming his Watson just because she has her own secrets that I'm not going to reveal now, as I think it would give too much away. He trusts her because she obviously has quite a good heart, but she also throws up whenever she lies, which we can discuss later because I thought was a little bit of a strange
pun. A little strange addition, but yeah.
And like I said, the death seems like a textbook case. However, Daniel Craig's character is actually a private detective, not just a normal detective, and someone anonymously hired him to find out who killed Harlan. So from the very beginning, you're unsure what to believe. Was it suicide? Was it a murder? You just don't know. Rian Johnson takes you down many different twists and turns, every time letting you believe one thing and then quickly snatching it away a few minutes later. And to be honest, I don't really want to say too much more about the plot. I feel like I haven't really said much about the plot at all. However, I feel like I started watching this film without knowing anything about it, other than knowing that it was a bit of a murder mystery. But I had absolutely no idea of the storyline at all. And so I really want to leave as much surprise there for you as a viewer, and so that you can be as transfixed as I was when I watched it. So what were your thoughts on the film?
Well, I was equally as transfixed, I have to say. See, you messaged me saying, oh, I really want to do Knives Out because I'm so sort of intrigued by the trailer. I remember watching the trailer and just sort of being like a bit meh. So I was like, okay, I'm gonna see what this film does and see what happens. And I've no idea why I just didn't like the trailer. It just didn't really do it for me. But then watching the film, I was completely transfixed. It was just, I mean, very different ball game to Annihilation, where you're sort of stuck to your chair more out of horror, whereas this was classic whodunit kind of film. But then Johnson really puts so many twists and turns in it and kind of has fun with that whole tradition, which I really enjoyed, because you see so many sides to the different characters and also quite a different side to, I think, the kind of classic sleuth who's played by Daniel Craig, Benoit Blanc, which is just a great name.
Benoit Blanc. He has this like southern drawl accent, which I really wanted your opinion on, because I never heard him have an accent like that before. But I have to say, I didn't enjoy it all the time because I felt like sometimes it was very forced and it didn't really work. But on the other hand, it really pulled him away from James Bond. Like, I didn't see James Bond when he started speaking with his southern drawl.
Yeah, I did. I can understand, like, if that was the aim. Yeah, I mean, I was the same. I didn't think about James Bond either, but at the same time, I don't know what it was trying to achieve. For me, watching it, I think it distracted away too much. I think it maybe could have started sort of like playing with this kind of, you know, the sleuth always has like, I don't know, I'm trying to think, like Poirot, he has sort of a Belgian accent that kind of draws him away from the crowd that he's situated in. But this one, it was like, I was like, are you taking the piss? Is this meant to be serious? I just don't know. But I thought his character was great because he also had some quite sort of funny moments. And I definitely felt like I doubted him at some stages, which I think watching, I mean, Johnson said he got a lot of inspiration from Agatha Christie novels. And I think in those kind of books, you'd never really doubt the sleuth. Like usually was a he, unfortunately. But they are for the majority in control. Whereas with Benoit Blanc, you see him sort of scrounging around for any kind of prints. And like there's one point where he's listening to an iPod in a car, which is just such a weird scene to look at, but it's so funny just seeing it. Is quite bizarre seeing Daniel Craig, like he's always been in this, well, I think just playing Bond for the last few years, you see him in these very stony faced roles, and so this was different. I did see though that he got nominated for an Academy Award. And I did not agree with that.
For this film?
Yeah.
That is rubbish. I'm sorry. No offence, Daniel Craig, and no offence, Benoit Blanc. But I enjoyed it, but I do not think that it was award-worthy.
Yeah, I don't know if it was like the Americans being like, oh my God, he can do an American accent. I was just like, oh no, this is just, no. Was not on board.
No, I don't agree with that. I don't think that it was. I mean, he played it well, but I found that the other actors played it just as well, if not better, than Daniel Craig. One other thing about the film that I really liked was that very early on in the film, I'd say in the first quarter of the film, you find out how Harlan Thrombey dies. At first, I was quite surprised that that was already being revealed. And I wasn't really sure how the film was going to continue because then I looked at the bottom of the, you know, the
I did exactly the same thing. I was like, what are they going to do now? What are they going to do?
I looked at the bottom of, and I saw that I had like an hour and a half left or at least an hour left of the film. And I thought to myself, what are they going to do? And how are they going to fill the rest of this film? And I think that in itself, for me, is great writing. And
definitely,
because to the very end you're still on the edge of your seat, just not really sure where this film's going to go, and maybe that was actually more exciting than your usual whodunit, because you already know what happened, you already know how Harlan Thrombey died, and then you've got to wait for the whole rest of the film to find out all the little details that play a part in his death.
Yeah,
and I really enjoyed that. I hadn't seen that before, so I was a fan of that.
Yeah, I did exactly the same and looked at the sort of little bar at the bottom and was just like, oh my God, I've got an hour left to go. Like, where can they go with this? And yeah, I completely agree. The writing just takes you on so many twists and turns, and really, I think, you know, what seeing the phrase or the word whodunit associated with the film, you kind of, you know, you already have this like tradition, this scene on screen in your head. And so you sort of understand the like slow closing of the case pretty much for like the second half of the film when they explain everything. Whereas like in this film, that happens very far towards the end. And there's so many more details at play, and going back through this night of Harlan Thrombey's 85th birthday and how they go through each family member's story. It's very meticulous, but at the same time, it sort of, it throws you about a bit and you just don't know what to expect. I think also just the way that it was kind of set up and like the kind of manor house, it really reminded me of Cluedo. I don't know why.
100%. You did it in which room? Was it,
yeah.
Was it Colonel Mustard with the candlestick? In the library.
It did feel like they draw quite a lot of attention to the house in the opening 5 minutes of the film. I mean, all the family are kind of kept there, aren't they, like for questioning. And so the house, for me, it was almost like there are so many, you discover trap doors and things like that, all this kind of like hidden stuff in the house. And it's sort of a, I don't know, I took it, might be looking too deep into this, but like a wider metaphor for the family, I guess, like everything is not what it seems, which I thought was a really nice touch. But then it also, it does kind of make fun of itself. The fact that Harlan is a prestigious crime writer and then he is caught in this huge case is quite funny in itself. And also one of the police detectives who's clearly such a huge fan and is sort of entering the house like, oh my God, like this is from this and this is from that. It's just, yeah, like little touches like that that sort of paid attention to the tradition but also didn't take it too seriously. I really liked those touches. It just made it really fun to watch.
And one last thing, what did you think about Marta's character not being able to lie, because if she lied she would vomit?
I found it quite funny at first when they introduced it. I was like, okay, this is a bit odd, but then it did provide a bit of comic relief. And not to give too much away, but Marta does get better at lying, or she can lie and then she can just hold back her sick for longer. And so there's some really funny moments, like her trying to like throw up in secret. I know it brought like an element of physicality to it, which I thought was quite fun, because I think otherwise Marta's character, although she seemed to have a good heart, and Benoit Blanc always says, you know, you've got a good heart and all this kind of stuff. I kind of wanted her to have a little bit more grit and to kind of stand up to the family a bit more, because I mean, they're very racist towards her. And I think it's a critique of sort of entitled rich white Americans. They're constantly saying like, oh, the Marta from Brazil, Marta from Uruguay, like they never know where she's from. And so there's sort of like subtle comments like that, which I thought were quite, I don't know, have a deeper root in terms of commenting on Trump's America, I guess. That could be placing far too much meaning on it, but I think it does definitely like bite at that a little bit.
And that's why I love, not to give anything away either, but I love the last scene of the film for that reason.
Yeah.
Which I think really gave it a good turn of the table in a way. So there were two things that I thought about Marta's character vomiting. I thought that firstly, it was a little bit too easy in some cases. Like it was just a little bit like, okay, so she's telling the truth. I don't know, just like always knowing that she was telling the truth. But I thought on the other hand, really knowing that she was telling the truth gave you as the viewer some kind of insight into what was happening, because you were taking down so many different paths. And you had no idea what was going on. That was the only thing that you knew for certain in the film until the very end, was if Marta was lying or not.
Yeah, she's like, her reflux was like a lie detector.
Exactly. So that, in some cases, that was the only thing you could
count on
was her being honest when she said something.
It was really weird. Like when I first saw that first comes up, you're sort of like, what? But it does work. It just kind of, I think it slots into the plot quite well. And yeah, I think it does provide a little bit of comic relief. What would you give the film out of 5?
I think I'd give it a 4 out of 5. Mm-hmm. I really, really enjoyed it. I have to say I was pleasantly surprised.
I think I'd actually give it a 5 out of 5. It was just a really fun film to watch. And the casting was great. The story and the script was amazing. It was just like, I think especially for now, it's just a really fun distraction, which I really enjoyed. Just a distraction away from everything that's happening. And it's a film that you can thoroughly get your teeth into and just like sit back and enjoy. And I think also, I mean, although the twists and turns are a bit complicated sometimes, I think it's like a great film for for families as well.
Definitely. I also love, I want to just thinking because you were saying how it was, how well written it was. I love some of Toni Collette's lines in the film. I thought they were absolutely hilarious. Like my favorite is where she's like, I'm not even going to react it, but there are, she has some amazing lines in the film, which make me smile right now. So.
Yeah, I mean, she delivers them with such, she is incredible in that character. I mean, all the characters are just so, so well written and yeah, just a joy to watch. Recommendations, what have you got for me this week?
So this week for Knives Out, I am recommending And Then There Were None by Agatha Christie. So it was a book by Agatha Christie, and there is a film version from the 1940s. However, the version that I am recommending is a BBC miniseries starring Aidan Turner, Douglas Booth, Charles Dance, and many, many more really famous actors.
I remember watching that one.
Yeah, oh, I absolutely loved it. It was
bloody terrifying, though. It was
terrifying, and you're on the edge of your seat for the whole of the series, and I've just recently found it on YouTube, so I was looking for it because it used to be on BBC iPlayer, but now you can find it on YouTube for $1.99 an episode.
Oh, amazing. Good news.
And for Annihilation, I would recommend 28 Days Later, also directed by Danny Boyle and written by Alex Garland. They seem to do quite a lot of films together. And 28 Days Later came out in 2002. And I remember watching it for the first time with my brother, being absolutely petrified, but not wanting to admit it because he was there with all his friends. But I think this is a great film. And seeing that it was nearly 18 years ago that it came out, if you haven't watched it, I would highly recommend it because it's a great film. And a lot of people quote it at the moment as it's based around a pandemic.
I have to confess that I haven't seen it, so I need to give that a watch. Ooh, I watch it first during daylight hours.
Definitely do. Yeah. Do Annihilation, but definitely watch it. It's a good film, and I'd have to say a bit of a cult classic, I think.
Mm.
What about you? What do you recommend this week?
So for Knives Out, I wanted to recommend Brick, a film that came out in 2006, which stars a very young and forever handsome Joseph Gordon-Levitt, which is sort of another whodunit kind of, it's like an indie whodunit pretty much. I watched it actually when I was, I think I must have been a teenager, but I remember really, really enjoying it. Really fun film. Well, not fun film. It's not a fun film. It's a really interesting film and some fantastic acting, which is pretty much, quite a lot of the film is carried by Joseph Gordon-Levitt, and it's really interesting to watch him in an earlier stage of his career. And then for Annihilation, I wanted to recommend Sunshine, which is another Boyle Garland extravaganza starring Cillian Murphy. Yeah, I watched this one when I was a teenager as well, and I remember really enjoying it, and it kind of stayed with me for quite a long time. Sci-fi set in space, all around this space station that's sort of traveling slowly and dangerously near the sun, carrying a lot of dangerous cargo. Yeah, it's a really, really good film. Very high octane. What is your quote for this week for us to end on?
So my quote is from Fred Willard, who sadly died on Friday. And I just thought it was a really sweet quote. And it's such a pleasure to work in these movies. It's almost like it's not really happening. And I just thought that was a really sweet quote.
Yeah, nice note to end on. We shall see you next week.
See you next week.